wonderful, Lord.
Thank you.
me yield my life completely to you. Let me find my life, Jesus.
wonderful day it is. It's a wonderful privilege to be in the house of God on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Among God's people. I like that song. I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. Praise God. I'm on lapel number 2, Brother Joe. Thank you. Appreciate everyone this morning. Appreciate the love of God that I feel. Appreciate the Spirit of God that we feel. I know that God loves each and every one of us. That's why we're here today. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We don't always realize the benefits of the Lord's calling on our life. It's easy to forget the blessings that we've all experienced until, you know, you find yourself in a time of need or in a time of want. And then you begin to examine your heart, begin to wonder, you know, God, do you love me? Lord, are you there? You know, are my prayers falling on deaf ears? They're not. He knows. The Bible says that that man doesn't know his own heart. It said, but the Lord knows the heart of man. It said he tries the reins. And he proves our heart. You know, it surprises me. He's proven, you know, he tries us, but he already knows what we're made out of. He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. I'm convinced more every day that the trials that come upon my life aren't necessarily for him to prove whether I'm going to follow him to him. He already knows. He's proven it to me. He's asking, he's helping me understand just how deep my commitment is, just how strong my determination is to go on with him. And the there's a chorus that made up my mind. I'll take the way with the chosen of the Lord. Why should I worry or fret? God's not failed me yet. I made up my mind and I must go on. Praise God. You know, that counting the cost, though, that part gets you a little bit. Because you don't know what you're going to have to give up. I didn't realize that when I met the body of Christ and received the gift of the Holy Ghost and these truths came alive in my life, I didn't realize that I was going to be giving up, you know, my heritage in Babylon, some of the doctrines that I grew up believing. I didn't realize that I was going to have to give up, you know, my dreams. As a young person, I had dreams of joining the Navy. Ever since I was a little kid. Wasn't God's plan for me. But I didn't know that I was going to have to give up those things. I didn't realize that I was going to have to give up family. But I've had to. I didn't realize that I was going to have to give up time and energy and effort. I didn't realize all that. But on the other hand, I didn't realize how valuable this calling is. I didn't realize how precious the Holy Ghost is. I didn't realize the blessings the Lord would bring on my life by serving Him. I didn't realize that there'd be miracles in my life. I didn't realize that there'd be healings in my life. One day I was sitting at home with a toothache that wouldn't quit. Didn't know what to do. And sat down in the chair and I was reminded of a scripture. It talked where the children of Israel, for 40 years, they were in the wilderness. The Bible says that He gave them cleanliness of teeth. And I said, Lord, if You gave the children of Israel cleanliness of teeth for 40 years in the wilderness, You can surely heal me of this toothache. And you know that toothache went away that day. Now, you know, I've had toothaches since then, and I'll tell you, I prayed the same prayer. For sure. They haven't always gone away, but He's provided, you know, He's made a way. I don't have a toothache today, thank the Lord. I've gone, you know, a long time with a toothache. I imagine, you know, what's the old saying, poor folks got poor ways. But I didn't realize that I'd have blessings and miracles in my life. One day I lost my keys. And it's quitting time. And I had keys to the company truck and the company building. And there wasn't nobody left. Everybody was gone. It's Friday afternoon. I couldn't leave until I found them keys. Because I had, you know, I was in the company truck. I laid them down in a big warehouse. A big warehouse full of just brown boxes. You can't even imagine. Nowadays, they don't have nothing like that because everything's digital, so they don't even need a warehouse like that. But it was a huge records warehouse, just stacked high in rows deep of pallets of brown boxes full of paper. And why they gave me that job, I don't know. I had access to all kinds of accounting and legal files and personnel records. It was unbelievable. I must have had a trustworthy look on my face. I didn't meddle in any of it, I promise you that, unless they needed me to find something for them. Anyway, I walked in, and I was in a hurry, and I laid my keys down on the top of a 6-foot stack of boxes. I'm not 6 foot tall, y'all. Well, I almost am. I told Gladys I was when we got married. Well, I was only half an inch, you know, away from it. It was my shoes or something made me 6 foot tall. Anyway, I laid these keys down and I couldn't find them. I've told you this story before. Sorry to repeat it again, but it's a good story. And I looked all over that building. I looked on the forklift. I looked on the, I looked on my desk. I looked in the door. I looked in the truck. And I looked and looked. And finally, I looked where I didn't know where else to look. And I just stopped and I prayed. I said, God, You know my need. You know where these keys are, and I don't. Would You please show me where they're at? And I bowed my head and prayed. Honest to goodness, folks, when I opened my eyes from praying, I looked up and I looked right at those keys. They were right in front of me, about 10 or 15 feet away from me. Counting the cost, I don't know. How do you value those things? How do you measure? You know, we in our Sunday school class last week, we talked about an unjust weight. God hates an unjust weight. Well, how do you measure a blessing from the Lord? It's impossible. I don't know how you'd do it. You know, what's a life worth? Well, if you measure by what Jesus' life is worth, how many millions of people are going to be saved because He gave His life as a sacrifice? Unbelievable. You know, and you get out on the battlefield and the soldier, His life is worth the life of his platoon or his fellow soldier. It's, you know, a life. They're willing to die for each other. And you get, you know, people that, that give their life for the gospel. Like Brother Smith, He's not here today. He's in the Dominican Republic, giving his life for the gospel. The Apostle Paul said that he was, I think I'm not making this up, but he said he was willing to spend and be spent for the gospel. And so you take people that give their life for the gospel. What's that worth? What is a living sacrifice worth? I don't know. I don't know how you measure all that. But I can tell you this. You know, just like this, they told a story of a little boy that was hungry and naked and cold and homeless and he was looking for help and stopped on the street. He said, I need help. And this other man, homeless guy, said, well, you go down two blocks to that yellow house and tell that lady John 3:16. So that little boy was on his way, and a police officer stopped him and said, where are you headed? He said, well, I'm headed down. Somebody told me to go down this yellow house and tell that lady John 3:16. And he said, that's right. That's exactly what you should do. And so he went and knocked on the door, and the lady opened and said, he looked up at her, and he said, John 3:16. She said, come on in. She brought him in and set him down by the fire and warmed him. Got him some dry clothes and fed him. And she said, do you know what John 3:16 means? And he said, well, no, not really. Except it means that it feeds a hungry boy and it makes him warm. You know, the value that we assign on things, it's just, it always surprises me. I underestimate things often. And it always surprises me the effect that God and His Word and His Spirit has on people, on me, on my friends, on my family. I want to count the cost, but it's just impossible. Really? All I know is it's going to cost my life. It takes a made-up mind to go with the Lord. Praise God. And I see your mind's made up here today. Thank God you come out on a rainy Sunday morning. You didn't let anything hold you back. Thank God you made up your mind that I'm going to serve God. I'm going to reach up. I'm going to touch Him. I'm going to let the Spirit of God touch my mind, touch my body. Thank God some of us don't feel good. I understand that. Some of us got worries on our minds. Some of us are concentrating on things that are going to affect us today and tomorrow and the next few days. Praise God, but you didn't let that stop you. You made up your mind, hallelujah, to get up and present yourself a living sacrifice to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a wonderful thing it is to be in the house of God. I was reading over here in Romans 8, in 18, said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. My Lord, the things that we're going through today, the things that we're wrestling with, the things that are overcoming us, the things that, you know, that upset us or frustrate us, the things that hinder us, the conditions that trouble us, my Lord, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory that God has for us. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. And I'm not talking about just, you know, some glory that like a king would receive or some famous person or, you know, I'm not talking about rose petals in the street and everybody clapping. I'm talking about the kind of glory that brings peace of mind, the kind of glory that the Bible says where there's no more tears. Hallelujah. There's no more sorrow. There's no more death. Praise God. The things that we're suffering with today are not worthy to be compared with the glory that the Lord shall reveal in us. Hallelujah. That's why we're on this journey. We've got a desire to make heaven our home. Praise God. We have a desire to live eternal. We've got a desire to please the Lord, to serve Him from now and forevermore. Hallelujah. He said in the 19th verse, he said, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." And we've been through these scriptures before, but just to remind you that there's people in this world today that they're waiting for somebody to find an answer. You know, just we see all kinds of efforts, fundraising and awareness for different sicknesses and diseases and different cancers and different birth defects and you know, different, now we got even, it's not just enough that you got birth defects. It's not enough that you got cancers and deficiencies, but now we're fighting bacterias and viruses coming across humanity and people. It's not enough that there's war out there. Now there's a physical warfare going on where we're worried about being contaminated. We're worried about germs and conditions and things like that destroying, you know, the physical body. We're worried about addictions and things like that destroying the mind. We're waiting. There's people waiting for the manifestation of God in this world today. My Lord, don't you know that if this church, if there was a move of healing in Little Rock, Arkansas, there'd be a flock to this city of all kinds of ailments, of all kinds of sickness. There'd be people of all kinds, shapes and sizes coming, looking to the house of God for a healing, for deliverance. People are waiting for the manifestation of God. They desire it. They want healing. They want peace of mind. He said, "The sufferings of this world are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed." He said, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope." Heard something last night that provoked my mind. Said, and y'all probably heard it. We were in East Texas visiting my wife's family, and we were in Tyler last night in service. So we were in church in Tyler, Texas, and they had a video clip from the campground in Shepherdsville, Kentucky, and on that video clip was a preacher from Des Moines, Iowa. So we went to Texas to hear a preacher from Iowa preach a message while he was in Kentucky. What a world we live in. I mean, and I'm from Arkansas. That's right. But he said this message of salvation wasn't given to angelic beings because they don't have a concept of needing to be saved. Angels don't understand sickness or sin. They don't understand disease. They don't understand disobedience. They just do. This message of salvation was given to us. Imperfect, sick sinners. This message of salvation was imparted to us. I say us, I'm talking about us, but I'm also talking about the apostles. Everyone that came after them. All the great reformers. All the great songwriters, all the the miraculous, the preachers that had miraculous ministries of healing, the people that preached messages of salvation, every one of them were burdened with sin and sickness. Every one of them were imperfect. Every single one of them dealt with sorrow. Every single one of them dealt with frustration and anxiety and disappointment. Every one of them did. But God gave them a message of hope, thank God, like He's given it to you and I today. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. But He made us subject to vanity. Why? That's the hard part. You know, that's the part that no one likes. That's when you look in the mirror and you don't like that fella that's looking back at you. That's when you're trying to dress it up and it don't do any good. You know, You may put a little hair formula in, but it's still going to be gray, you know, underneath. You know, he made us subject to vanity, didn't he? He made us that way. We still got to deal with it. We still got to deal with the pride that rises up in our heart. We still got to deal with the anger and the frustration and the sorrow and the sadness. We still got to deal with all those things that go against the grain. He did it. It's his fault. Well, he didn't do it without having a plan. He didn't do it without giving us hope. Now, why did he do that? He did it so you and I would make choice. See, the angels, they don't make choice. They just do what they're told. I can tell you right now, my dogs are not angels. Because they don't do what they're told. They do what they want to do. Occasionally, they do what I tell them to do. But the angels aren't like that. They just do what they're told. We're not like angels. I hate to tell you that. But these little babies around here, they're not like angels. The Bible says that they come lying from their mother's womb. Now, how do they do that? Oh, I tell you. I got four of them. They're all experts. I'm hungry. Well, you just ate. I'm hungry. But you just ate. Go to bed. I'm hungry. That's what they do. They lay there and they cry. Oh, a little baby can't even talk. Don't know, you know, two words in the English language. But they know why. And they say it over and over and over again. And they're in there, you know, crying. They know if they cry long enough, somebody's going to come tend to them. I tell you, it was a battle with Gladys. Well, it was a battle with one of our children and Gladys. And me too. One night, I've told this story before, I'll tell it again. One night, we had fed her. We had changed her. She was burped. The house was 70-something degrees. It wasn't cold outside. But we liked to keep a warm house for a little while. There was nothing wrong with this child. She just didn't want to go to bed. So we put her to bed and turned the light out, and she'd cry. And I'd go in there and I'd correct her. And it don't work. You know, you think, you correct them. That's what parents do, right? They correct them, kids obey, world's happy. No, it don't work like that. I correct her, she'd straighten up. I walk out of the room, she'd start crying again. And this went on for like a half hour. So finally I got up. Gladys needed her rest. I didn't say beauty rest. I didn't say that. I know y'all was thinking that, but she needed her rest. So I said, you just go on to bed, and I'll take care of this. This, you know. I set her in a little chair, a little cute little chair, facing the wall. I said, and she wasn't crying. But in about 2 minutes, she was falling out of that chair, sound asleep. I picked her up, and I put her to bed. I shut the door. I didn't turn the light on. I shut the door, or I pulled it to. I didn't shut it all the way. Walked down the hallway and got in bed. Wham! Well, I'm sorry to tell you right now. That little girl knew exactly what to do. There was nothing wrong with her, except she just wanted company. She just wanted some loving. She just wanted to be held. Yeah, I'm a little more sensitive to that now. Although, you know, my girls are, and my son too, you know, they don't care to be held by dad. Because usually it involves me starting to tickle them or something like that. Trying to get away from me. But she just wanted to be held. Well, at that point, it was well after midnight. And I'm going to go to Madeline here, but I made up my mind a long time ago that she, for the most part, our children weren't going to sleep in the bed with us. We tried that a time or two, and it wasn't very fun. The time we got kicked all night. And, you know, this, you know, how does a toddler occupy a queen-size bed? Very successfully. And so anyway, we let her cry herself to sleep that night. I don't know if Gladys has ever forgiven me for that. But that little girl, she just knew she was one. There wasn't nothing wrong with her. Children know. They know how to manipulate. They know how to connive. They know how to get their way. Said that, I don't even know how I got off on that. I was talking about the subject being, or the creature being subject to vanity, subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So what I'm saying is, we're born that way. We're born with this. We're born with this structure, this makeup, this physical combination of wanting our own way, even from a little child. And we've got to get free from it. We've got to get free of it. It said, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. I hope you guys are not groaning in pain right now. But you might be. You might be. It said that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Probably was quoted about 10 minutes before lunchtime in a long-winded preacher. One of my daughters said, "Dad, I'm hangry." I said, "What? I'm hangry." I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "Dad, I'm so hungry, I'm angry. I'm ready to eat. I'm hangry." Sometimes people do travail and groaneth in pain together whenever they're hungry. It said that not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? I'll put this illustration here. We got a young man's about to get married. That's his hope. Brother Caleb, that's your hope. You're hoping to get married here in a few weeks. That's your plan. You're planning on that. I don't hope to get married anymore because my wife and I got married 19 years ago. I'm not hoping for that anymore. Now, I'm hoping for other things. You know, I wouldn't allude to the other things, Brother Caleb, but they're sometimes, you know, married life isn't always cut out to be, and, you know, there are moments. But you work through them, and you learn to love and grow together, and that's important. That's part of it. But I'm not hoping to get married like Brother Caleb is. Why? Because I have it. I'm married now. What a man hath, he doesn't hope for anymore. Well, let me tell you something. If you're sitting here today and you've received the gift of the Holy Ghost in your life, you've been called to a resurrection. You have been called to a resurrection. Now, it may be a resurrection of the just, or it may be a resurrection of the unjust. That depends on how you live your life. But if you've received the gift of the Holy Ghost in your life today, you've been called to a resurrection. You're hoping for a resurrection of the just. You're going to strive to obtain that. In order for you and me to obtain that, we have to submit our will to God and say, "Not my will," like Christ did, and say, "Thy will be done. Lord, your will in my life. That's what I desire." He said, "What a man hath, why doth he yet hope for?" But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We're waiting, aren't we? You know, that's a nice thing. I think about this. Let's take somebody who doesn't have the Holy Ghost or a promise of a resurrection. What are they waiting for? They're not. They're waiting to die. They have no hope in life eternal. Now, this is how merciful God is. God has given humanity a promise, give or take, of 70 years, right? You've got 70 years of your life to live. Now, I recognize that some people don't get 70 years. I understand that. I've buried more than one friend and family member that didn't get 70 years. I understand that. But you've got 70 years that God has offered you to do something with. Now, you may just live like the devil and live for yourself and be selfish and do whatever you want to do and go here and go there and sow all your wild oats. When it's over, it's over. That's the end of the road. But you can make a choice today. You can make a choice today, and you can still enjoy your life, and you can still pursue the things that you desire, the things that bring you happiness. You can still pursue joy and peace. The Bible says missing the first part of that, where it says that God would give a man the desires of his heart. Delight thyself. Thank you. The Bible says that if you'll delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. So you're not going to do without by serving God. You're not going to be like, you know, clothed in sackcloth and ashes for 70 years of your life. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm saying today that you can make a choice. You can pursue the hope that God has promised, the fulfillment of God's word, the coming of the Lord in your life. You can pursue that and still have the desires of your heart. Now, I will say this, that your desires may change. The things that interest you today may not interest you as much when you get your heart centered on God. But if you just brush God aside, do your own thing, you might get 70 years, you might not. But you probably won't get any more. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:5, I think it is, said that the dead know nothing. That they don't even know they're dead. Well, think about that a minute. I'm assuming every one of us woke up this morning. Sounds funny to say it like that. Well, some people don't get no sleep at night, you know. Some people, they stay up all night. That's why I said it like that. But if you woke up this morning, you were asleep. Well, you didn't know you was asleep until you woke up. You know, I guess you could dream about being asleep. That sounds like work. That sounds like too much work. You don't know you're asleep until you wake up. Well, if you're dead, you don't know you're dead until you wake up. It's not like you're looking down on yourself and you realize you're dead. Then you'd be alive. If you're dead, you're dead. You're dead. Well, if God don't resurrect you, ain't nobody else going to. If God doesn't bring you out of the grave, if you're not alive in the mind of God, then it's over. That's the end of the road. Your body goes back to the dust, and you're forgotten. And your name will be lost. Never more remembered. You can make a choice today. That choice, it's complicated. It's a complicated decision because you don't know what it's going to cost you. I just told you, though, I didn't know I was going to get healings, miracles. I've told this story before, but we were flat broke, had bills to pay. We had no money. I told my wife, I said, we just need to pray that God would send us a check in the mail. I'm not kidding. The next day, we got a check in the mail. It's for $2.50 or something. It's like Publisher's Clearinghouse or something like that. That didn't dissuade my faith. I'll tell you that right now. That let me know that I should ask for a bigger check. I'll take it. I'll take it. You don't know what God has in store for you. Trust Him. Try Him. Try Him. Praise God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. He said, likewise, a spirit. See, I didn't know this either. The Bible says when a man speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks not unto men. It's not, there is the occasion where there's a tongue with an interpretation, or there's a tongue as a witness, as we've heard testimony given here. But there's also the occasion where you're speaking to God. It said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. You're communicating with God. It doesn't matter what language it comes out. It doesn't matter if it's Portuguese or Chinese or Russian or whatever the case may be. It doesn't matter if it's just gibberish. As long as God hears and understands what's coming from your heart, that's what matters. Praise God. You could be saying anything as long as you're communicating with God. And I've told people that many times when they're in the Spirit. Look, you've got God's attention. You know, people have been praying, and you know, you can see them winding down a little bit. So don't turn loose of that. Don't turn loose of that. Don't stop seeking. Don't stop right here. Press a little further. You've got God's attention. You're talking to Him. Tell Him. Reach down in the depths and those hidden places in your heart. Reach down in those spots where you don't let nobody go. Take out those secret things and talk to God about it. Take out those things that really just give you the most trouble, the things that just torment you and hinder you the most. You're talking to Him in a language that He understands. Share it with Him. Share it with Him. He already knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. Talk to Him about it. You'd be surprised. He's going to talk back to you. Praise God. It said here that the Spirit, it said it searcheth the heart. Let's see, the Spirit in the 26th verse also helpeth our infirmities. For we not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. My Lord. I didn't know I was going to get that. I didn't know that was part of the package. I got the Holy Ghost. Not I got the Holy Ghost. It was just like that. Just speaking in tongues for a few minutes and it was over. Service was over and we were headed home. Boy, a few days later though, I got in the Spirit. Something come on over me. They began to have something groan. Some uttering came out of me. I tell you, the Lord is really helping me. There was things in my life that He was helping me work through. Said, He searcheth the hearts. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Praise God. You can count on Jesus, can't you? You can count on Jesus to make intercession for you. And you can count on that when He does, it's going to please the Lord. It's going to please God. When Jesus makes intercession for you, it's going to be according to God's will. That's hard. There's times where you just don't know. It seems like the answer is so obvious. It seems like that it's just like when we moved to Little Rock. It just, for me, it was such an obvious move. It was just so, it was just cut and dry. Brother Weininger, he accepted us. He didn't hold any reservation when I counseled with Brother Weininger and Brother Linger about moving here so many years ago. We've been in this church 12 years, I guess. I've been in this church and labored in this church longer than any church I've ever labored in. And that's a short list, I promise you. But I'll tell you, it wasn't an easy decision. I was working for J.B. Hunt at the time, and I'm a computer guy, and their internet speed was brutally slow, and I was used to being, you know, in the corporate office, both with Walmart and Hunt, and used to having access to everything, and, you know, computers working fast and data dropping fast and all that stuff. And I move down here and I get on a dial-up network. And I'm working in a trucker's terminal. No offense. And I got these truck drivers coming and going around me, and they don't know why I'm there, and I can't explain to them what I'm doing. They're looking at me like, boy, you're a long ways from home, aren't you? And they were right. They were absolutely right. I found me this little spot, kind of, you know, poor lighting, stuck back in the corner. So, because I do a lot of data analysis, and at the time, actually, I was not only doing a lot of data analysis, but I was working on a database interface. Not that that means anything, but it was very complicated. It was four databases, and it was a total pricing system, and it was a chore. And so I had to think my mind. I had to think through it. I had to map stuff out in my mind because my data speeds were so slow. I couldn't just hit execute. I couldn't just hit go. Because as soon as I hit go, it's like 30 minutes later before I got a response. And so I had to deal with, you know, I had to scale everything down and deal with it locally before I could hit their network. And so I knew that was going to be tough. And moving down here, it wasn't an easy decision. But it was an obvious decision. See, the Lord, when the Lord makes intercession for you, it will be according to His will. Even when it seems like it's a hard decision. And I tell you, I feel it's my conviction that God moved us here. Brother Weininger, I'll always believe that. I'll always believe that God moved us here. It was His will. And I'm thankful. I'm very thankful. I'm very happy to be here in this assembly working with you good folks. This is our home. This is where we planted our roots. And I believe that even though the decisions wasn't necessarily the easy one to make, the Lord knew. He made intercession for me according to the will of God. And then he said here in the 28th verse, he said, and we know that all things work together. Work together. All things work together. They work together. They work together. That's it. That's it. You know, Brother Linger gave us, he said, coming together is good. He said, staying together is good. He said, but working together, that's progress. Working together. Working together, all things. The Bible says, how can two agree, how can two walk together except they first agree? They work together. They have to agree to work together. You know, if I'm working with you and you're working with me, we're going to be working on the same thing. And if I'm looking out for your good, and you're looking out for my good, thank God, all things work together for the good. Hallelujah. If I put my brother, if I'm seeking my brother's wealth, if I'm lifting up the hands that hang down and I'm strengthening the feeble knees, if I'm visiting the fatherless and the widows indeed, if John 3:16 means clothing a cold child and feeding a hungry belly, if those things mean something to me and they mean something to you, thank God, and you and I are working together, then those things will work together for the good. Hallelujah. Said that all things work together for the good for them that are the called according to His purpose. Praise God. All right, so now you've had a bad day, or you've had a rough day, or you're sick, or something's hindering you. Thank God, you come out to the house of God. He said that the sufferings of this day are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. You could have stayed home today. You could have stayed home and felt bad. You could have stayed home and nursed your wounds. Or you could have stayed home and been a little bit miserable, or whatever the case may be. But when you come out to the house of God and sister gets on the piano like Sister Stewart did and begins to sing, or the band song begins to play, that it will rain again. Thank God that the stalks will build with wheat. Thank God that the grapes are going to burst forth with wine, that there's a harvest coming. Thank God when you come out to the house of God and maybe you're carrying all those problems and all those frustrations with you, but then you start working together. Then you start working together for the good. Then you start working together for the good for the cause. For the cause. For the call. You're working together for your brother. You're working together for your sister. You're working together for Little Rock. You're working together for Central Arkansas. You're working together for the body of Christ. You're working together to build a lighthouse, thank God, in a world that's full of darkness. You're working together to provide a place of refuge, hallelujah, for people that are sick and sorrowful. You're working together, thank God, to let people know that the sufferings of this world are not to be compared to the glory that God provides. Hallelujah. When people come together in His name and they work together for the cause, thank God. Woo! He said, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Thank God. Moreover, it said, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Praise God. Yes. Yes, you're predestinated. He did know. He knows you today. He's called you today. I like that saying. The choices that you make today. Choices that you make today will predestine your tomorrow. Your tomorrow may end in 70 years by the choices that you make today. Your tomorrow may just be over. You know, some people are just content. They're just fine. That's fine. That's all I want. Leave me alone. I've met people like that. I've heard that saying, there's no atheist in a foxhole. I've heard that saying before, but I can tell you, I've met some folks that I think that they absolutely don't want anything to do with God. I've met some people that absolutely just do not care. They're so self-centered. They're so selfish. They're so focused on their own ways and their own thing that they don't want anybody or anything to interfere with them. And you know how merciful God is? Now think about this a minute. There's people There are living organisms, fetuses, infants, children, young adults, adults, and elderly people that grow up or are never given a chance in this world to hear the name of Jesus Christ. They're denied that opportunity. There's people that die every day, some by choice and some not by choice, and not one time are they given the opportunity to bow their knee and ask the Lord to forgive them of their sins and dedicate their life to Him. But here we are. We've been provided an opportunity here today. You've been given a chance, a hope. If you don't have that hope today, I want to encourage you. Or if you've lost your hope today, it's just a matter of you making a change in your life. Today, don't put it off. I'm telling you, I've seen people die an unsudden, a sudden death, unexpected death. I had a buddy that I grew up with. He was a rambler. And I shouldn't say stuff like that. He knew how to take advantage of girls. And he was a smooth talker. He grew up, in a broken home, but he had a heart a little bit for the Lord, went to church times. If he drank, it was only socially. He didn't get into drugs too much. But he didn't respect people like he should have. And he knew how to sweet talk girls. Time ran out. He was going through an intersection in Bentonville, which at the time was a small town, probably about like Cabot or BB or Morrilton or something like that, in a little bitty car, got distracted, ran a stop sign. Couldn't have been going more than 20, 25 miles an hour. Hit another car, wasn't wearing a seatbelt. When he hit that car, he went forward and the steering wheel crushed his chest cavity. Punctured his lungs, and he laid in that hospital bed, and he had enough time to tell his mama goodbye and choked to death. He was only 19 years old. He didn't get up that day thinking he was going to die. He got up that day thinking, that he had the world by the tail. Our time's always. I know that. We got detoured on our way home this morning from a wreck down on I-30. Our time is always. I know that. I want to make the right choice today. I don't want to wait. I want to answer the call. I want to be one of the called, thank God. I want to work for the good. He said, and I want to be predestinated. I want my hope. I want to know that there's a hope of a resurrection for me, a resurrection of the just. Hallelujah. He said that for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Thank God. And whom he justified, he also glorified. Hallelujah. You're sitting here today in this sin, sorrowful, sickness condition that we find ourselves in. Praise God. But someday we're going to find ourselves sitting together and we're going to be called, we're going to be justified, and we're going to be glorified. Hallelujah. There won't be no more sorrow. No more sadness. No more sickness. No more pain. Praise God. What a wonderful promise that we have. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. Isn't He good? Hallelujah. Praise God. He is so good. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise God. Maybe Sister Lynette has a good song for us. Praise God. What a wonder it is to be in the house of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.
Isn't it good to serve the Lord? Isn't it good to live for Him? Doesn't He thrill you with His blessings every day? Oh, doesn't He watch right over you? Doesn't He love you through and through? Isn't it good to live your life for the Lord? Isn't it good to serve the Lord? Oh, isn't it good to live for Him? Doesn't He thrill you with His blessings every day? Oh, doesn't He watch right over you? Doesn't He love you through and through?
Isn't it good to certainly enjoyed Brother Painter's message, didn't you? Aren't you glad you got in on this? Aren't you glad you took out a policy? I appreciate the Lord. But I was also on the other side where I didn't want to be bothered. Leave me alone. Let me do my own thing. Don't mess with me, and I'm sure not going to mess with you. Signed, sealed, delivered. Had many opportunities, many invitations to come to the house of God. But there came a day that a young man invited me, and it made me nervous. It stuck with me. I didn't know it was God. I sit out on my lawn and talk to God and said, Lord, I'm thankful that I didn't tear up my invitation. I was invited to come to this church. It's good to serve the Lord. Oh, man, Brother Painter, I really appreciate the words you gave us today. And this wonderful hope that we have. The hope of salvation. The kingdom of heaven is like an insurance adjuster. Came knock at my door, and I refused it. No, I got enough. I don't need any. Go your way, dude. I ain't got time for that. But one day I had a knock at my door, but I couldn't refuse it. It's good to serve the Lord. And in the beginning, as Brother Painter said, you don't know all what God has in store for you. I have not seen, ears not heard. Neither hath it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love him. And then on top of that, I thought, Lord, where I came from, it was fighting and scratching, disagreements of all kind, kind of a dysfunctional home. But one day I heard you call my name. And of all the people that knew me, I just looked at them wondering, do you know what I'm feeling? Who could I turn to? Do you know what I'm going through? And I kept feeling this urgency to do something, but I didn't know what to do. I didn't know God had his eyes on me saying, I'm sending you an answer. I'm sending you someone that can help you. Man, it's good to serve the Lord. And you're talking about his benefits. Wow, we're loaded with them. Scripture says God daily loadeth us with his wonderful benefits. I wouldn't trade them in for what State Farm, Prudential, no one has. I appreciate the plan of God. Said in Jeremiah 29:11, I'm thinking about you. I know the plans that I have for your life, to lead you to a life of peace and joy. I'm glad I got in on that. My name is written in heaven tonight. Can you imagine that? A junkie. Now your name is in heaven? You'd up? No way, dude. No, not you. Boy, I tell you, this is one party that I was invited to, and they didn't try to run me off. I showed up at a lot of parties. Hey, man, we don't want no dub around here. But this is one family I showed up in. And I didn't even know John 3:16, but they let me stay. When I came here, I found my life. I found my life. I found what I was searching for. I didn't find it in alcohol and drugs. I didn't find it in tricking people. You know, all those things you do in the world. Oh, Jesus, it's good to serve the Lord. It's good to serve the Lord in all the places that he's brought me from, brought me to, but he brought me through. I'm glad he did. I'm glad he laid his hand on my life. I don't regret, not one time. Man, talking about letting me yield my life to you, Lord. I'm not going to try to take too long. When I thought about when you yield your life over to God, I related on this scale, Brother John, that I just gave up from the things in the world, and I surrendered to the salvation of God. He had me under arrest. My court hearing was right here at this church. I came to the greatest court in the state of Arkansas and heard about myself. I surrendered. It's good to serve the Lord. He's provided for me in so many ways. And Brother Tucker taught me, whether he does or not, we'd still love him. And I've been in those places where I thought, Lord, you don't care about me anymore. You don't know, you don't feel, you don't understand what I'm going through. I've been in trials before when I've said, Lord, have you forsaken me? Do you even care? And he said, oh, yeah. Yes, I care. I was going through a pitiful, dark time here a few years ago. And I woke up 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning wishing I had some sleeping pills and stuff. And I asked the Lord, do you care what I'm going through? Do you realize what I'm going through? God answered right away and said, yes, I do. In Isaiah 53, you know what he said to me in the scripture? I'm a man well acquainted with grief and sorrow. Had made my mourning. I fell asleep. Said, I'm a man well acquainted with grief and sorrow. Cast all your burdens upon the Lord, because he cares for you. And the prayers of a righteous man availeth much tonight. We're in a safe place tonight. You know that? I love serving God. I do. I don't long for and miss them old crazy days. And I thought, why didn't I see this earlier, Lord? But he had a time and a place for me. I'm supposed to be up calling prayer. But I'm talking about this wonderful place. And when we sing those songs, especially, feeling at home in the presence of Jesus, that always does something to me. Because I do. I feel so at home. When I came to this people, I thought, I'm in the wrong place. So Sylvia, as soon as church is out, we're getting out of here and we're never coming back. Been 39 years. I'm the biggest liar in Little Rock. I ain't coming back. What am I going to do with my 39 years? I appreciate God. I appreciate the door of salvation being open to me. When I came this way, I was hungry and you fed me. I was lonely and you embraced me and showed me love. I was naked and you clothed me. Fed my soul from the word of God. Caused me to love righteousness and holiness. Oh, it was a trial to let God work in my life. People knew my background on the job. And it was always a trial. They wanted to see what's going on with that dude. It was like they wanted me to give up. But I held on to God. He brought me to a place of peace. I was just sharing with Brother Durham sitting here on the platform talking this morning that when I come here, my life is like it's reviewed before me. And I was telling him that the first service I was in, greeting all you friendly people, you don't know me and you treat me like I'm your next of kin. The Lord spoke to me and said, sincere. And I'm pausing, looking around. Who said that? It was like a voice within. It was about 3 years later, the Lord finished it. One day on the job, I was just working, and he finished it. I brought you to a sincere people. And you've been sincere ever since. God's love takes care of me. I appreciate being in his safety. I appreciate the kindness of God. You know that? He's kind to us, isn't he? And his love takes good care of me. I'm going to get to prayer in a few minutes. And I appreciate this wonderful hope. Brother Painter, I appreciate the Lord today, and this has been a wonderful way. The things I've had and encountered, I'm glad I held on to Jesus. Physically, mentally, you name it, socially. Wow. I've needed things. The other night I was going through a trial in my mind, and I thought, 3 o'clock in the morning, the emergency room is open at Baptist St. Vincent's, VA, and I could probably get some help, but I'm just going to ask my father if he would help me, because Walgreens pharmacy and Walmart's pharmacy wasn't open. But the Kingdom of Heaven's drugstore was open, and he met my needs. Yes, he did. He came to my rescue. Had it not been for me saying, yes, I'll surrender, I'll walk with you, and I'll love you, and I'll get acquainted with you. I'm glad he gave me a chance to get acquainted with him. Job said, acquaint thyself with him, and thereby live in peace. I'm glad I got acquainted with him. He's not a stranger to me. His ways are strange at times, but he's not a stranger. I'm not afraid to approach him and say, Lord, I need you. And as I said, I didn't know John 3:16 or anything when I met these people. I didn't know whether Job was in the front of the book or in the back. But he brought me through those rough places. And here I am today to celebrate 39 years. I'm glad for this wonderful family. I'm glad he led me here. Man, my home was a total wreck. My wife and I was living in a little two-bedroom duplex apartment. I know them neighbors was glad when Doug got saved. Oh, man. Anyway, God's been good to me. It's been beneficial serving the Lord. Oh, yes, praise God. Well, we've got several prayer requests we need to bring before the Lord. But we'd like to welcome Chad and Cindy, second time. And we hope that you will find something here. We're all sincere people. We all came from all walks of life. You've heard some of my testimony. I wasn't planning on staying here, but I found a people that cared for me. I found a people that loved me. I found a people that took an interest in me. And most of all, I found a people that prayed for me. I appreciate what God has done for me. And we got another visitor. I forgot his name. Brother Aaron, okay, from Dallas, okay. Glad to have you with us today. I see you've already made yourself at home, and we're glad to have you. Our Sister Jenny Craft, how you doing? Good to see you today. Anyone else? Good to see Brother Anthony. You've been having some difficulties with sinus problems. Good to see you out today, brother. And Sister Abraham, your daughter today, is that Michelle? Nicole, okay, good to have her with us today. And it's good to have God in our midst today. Our Some of you know my oldest sister, Linda Alexander. It's been going on now about 2 weeks. She works at Children's Hospital. And a couple of weeks ago, she was walking across the parking lot and just failed. Some of the security guys that drive the little golf carts saw her and got her on the cart, and they took her to where she works at. And they checked her out a little bit, but they recommended that she go on over to St. Vincent's. And when she got there, the doctor could only tell her that some form of arthritis. And now she's been falling. She fell a week ago and chipped a tooth, had something like a black eye under her eye. I was sitting outdoors just talking to the Lord early one morning, and I saw the front of her car pull up, looking around my pickup truck, and it was her daughter, Rhonda. Your sister done fail with a hard head. And and I'm thinking, okay, what I need to do? Put on some clothes and let's go. So I changed clothes and we took her to her doctor, and they gave her some pain medication and all, and they run some tests, and she had an MRI the other day, and they think she's having some mini strokes. And she's losing her balance and her speech is slurred. But that's not too difficult for God, is it? And it's no bother for our Father to help us. So I'd like prayer from my sister, Linda, that God will help her through this physical time. And she's considering retiring from her job. And so it's a lot of things we'd like to ask God for. Anyone else got a request today? Let's remember Brother Smith, his travels in the Dominican Republic, Sister Lynette. Okay. Yes. Okay. All right. I just remember Brother Fred Stewart, self-employed, trying to get him some business. Brother Mike. Okay, Sister Julie Crafton, Sister Linda. Well, that's progress, yes. Oh, yeah. Well, stroke level. Okay. Okay. All right. Sister McGowan. Still have it. Okay. And I don't want to leave out Sister Jasmine. She thought I forgot her, but I didn't. Good to see you, Jasmine. Smile just like your dad. Yeah. I see Anthony all over her. Yes, and Brother and Sister Crow, Sister Abraham. Okay, let's remember that request. I talked to Brother Al Friday evening back at a church here, and he took a little trip up to Missouri to take care of some things. So let's remember him in prayer. Yeah, something about the, I forgot, the tombstones, they be getting them in. Okay. Brother Paul? Okay, all right. And Brother Henry, okay? Sister Thompson? Okay. Pray that God will touch him and strengthen him. Anyone else today? Well, I'm sure we all have unspoken requests. Yes.
My father-in-law smashed
his finger. Yes. Okay. Let's remember. All right. Let's remember that need. Dallas. Okay. So pray God give them a safe trip down and back. All right. Let's stand then, and we're going to receive an offering also if the ushers would come. Yes, and Brother Jerry York, too. Pray that his condition will improve every day under the hand of God. Lord, we're thankful today that you called us to your kingdom. We're thankful today that you took your time to give us a chance to walk with God. For the eyes of God roam to and fro throughout the earth, searching for those whose heart are committed to him today. We're thankful, Lord, for the healings that we've received, for the grateful, wonderful benefits that God has prepared for those that love him today. Pray for Brother and Sister Crow that God will continue to lift and touch their lives today. For Brother Smith today on a trip there in the Dominican Republic, oh God. Pray that God's hand will go with our pastor, his safety. Very important. Brother Fred Stewart today, he's seeking things from God, to hear from the Lord and give him a touch from God. Healing for his body today. Hallelujah. What a wonderful God we serve today. Oh, yes, that he called us to his kingdom. That his healing hand will rest upon our lives. Brother Painter's father-in-law needs a touch from God. God's able to take care of all of our needs. Yes, he is. Oh, God, we're to draw nigh to God. Let him hear our voice. Oh, God. He's listening today. He's available at all times, anything that we may do. We're thankful today for the wonderful benefits of God, for the doorway of salvation was opened to us. Oh, God, that he has healing in his hand. We have a wonderful Father. We have a wonderful Savior today. Oh, yes, we do. Oh, God, we give you praise and thanks throughout the day. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Praise God.
I'm just a pilgrim passing through this wicked world of sin. I've got my eyes upon the Lord, for he's my dearest friend. He promised me he'd stand by me through valleys on the way. And now I feel his precious spirit stronger every day. I'm being healed, healed, healed. Spirit, soul, and body, even now I feel his spirit in my soul. I'm being healed, healed, healed. I feel his spirit growing. Jesus, take my hand and lead me on. Just when I think I've overcome, a cross I've learned to bear. I've too much pride, I think I'm gaining ground. Just when I'm least expecting, old Adam's resurrecting. By the grace of God, I'll put my spirit down. I'm being healed, healed, healed. Spirit, soul, and body, even now. I feel his spirit in my soul. I'm being healed, healed, healed. And I feel his spirit growing. Jesus, take my hand and lead me on. Sometimes I feel a beastly spirit in me running wild. And I ask myself this question, must you always be a child? However, can I please the Lord if I rant and rave and frown? I'll never do the will of God until I put my spirit down. I'm being healed, 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 spirit, soul, and body even now. I feel His Spirit in my soul. I'm being healed, 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 and I feel His Spirit growing. Jesus, take my hand and lead me on. I'm being healed, 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 spirit, soul, and body even now. I feel His Spirit in my soul. I'm being healed, 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 and I feel His Spirit growing. Jesus, take my hand and lead me on. Just when I think I've overcome, a cross I've learned to bear. I've too much pride, I think I'm gaining ground. Just when I'm least expecting, old Adam's resurrecting. By the grace of God, I'll put my spirit down. I'm being healed, 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 spirit, soul, and body even now. I feel His Spirit in my soul. I'm being healed, 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 and I feel His Spirit growing. Jesus, take my hand and lead me on. I'm being healed, 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 spirit, soul, and body even now. I feel His Spirit in my soul. I'm being healed, 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 and I feel His Spirit growing. Jesus, take my hand and lead me on. Sometimes I feel a beastly spirit in me running wild, and I ask myself this question, must you always be a child? However, can I please the Lord if you rant and rave and frown? I'll never do the will of God until I put my spirit down. I'm being healed, 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 spirit, soul, and body even now. I feel His Spirit in my soul. I'm being healed, 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 and I feel His Spirit growing. Jesus, take my hand and lead me on. I'm being healed, 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 spirit, soul, and body even now. I feel His Spirit in my soul. I'm being healed, 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 and I feel His Spirit growing. Jesus, take my hand and lead me on.
Got a few minutes still before dinner is ready. Just wanted to remind everyone that the Oklahoma City meeting's coming up, and I believe the date is November the 4th. Through the 7th, November the 4th through the 7th. I'm pretty sure it starts in the afternoon, p.m. service. So just be aware of that. And then also, we haven't announced it, and I know most of the youth aren't in here, but some of your parents are. The Mount Carmel youth meeting is on our schedule, and we have reserved rooms for the Mount Carmel youth meeting. So you think your children will want to go to that, please get with me or Sister Gladys, and we'll make sure that we'll try to arrange everything and make sure the transportation's all set and so forth. We want to continue to pray for Brother Smith. I'm not sure how long he's going to be in the Dominican. Oh, okay, early this week. Okay, short trip. Well, let's pray that he'll have a safe journey. A prosperous journey, and You know, I know these trips are hard on him. I think I've heard Brother Michael say it usually zaps him whenever he gets back from a trip like that, because he just runs nonstop. So we want to pray for him that the Lord will give him strength. Continue to pray for him. I hope that everybody has a good week. We won't have service tonight. We on our dinner day, we have fellowship and dinner downstairs together, and then we gather together and help clean up the church, sanctuary, the dining room, the restroom, so forth. If we don't take care of it, who will? So if you need help or if you need a task, feel free to ask me or any of the elders, saints, or men and women here. I'm sure that there's something that can be done. We're workers together with him. Praise God. So let's all just stand and give thanks for this food and ask the Lord to bless it and bless each other. And let's look forward to having a good week and good dinner together. Praise God. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this privilege that you granted us to gather together in your name. What a wonderful thing it is, oh God, to be called to this hope that you provided us, Lord Jesus, to be one of your children, life eternal, hallelujah, Lord. Bless this congregation, Lord, and bless this food that we're about to eat, and bless the hands that prepared it, oh God. Watch over us and keep us as we work and labor together in you, dear Lord. We'll give you praise and honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Dinner's downstairs. It'll be good.